want answers.
I want the truth.
Then you want Dave Hodges.
Dave Hodges.
The Common Sense Show. You can't dodge the Hodge.
Welcome to hour number two of the Common Sense Show. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, coming to you proudly on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And our special guest tonight is Russ Baker, who's written a very provocative book on the Bush family. And we'll tell you later on how you can get this book. But, Russ, I want to go back and just ask you a real pointed question. From the research you've done, do you think that Bush 41 had any kind of complicity in the death of JFK?
You know, the answer to that is so provocative that I'm going to do a slight sidestep here and say that I have, as I say, four chapters of all new information relating to the assassination. I think it's pretty clear I wouldn't put that much into the book if I didn't think there was something important there. I began that because of Bush's claim he didn't know where he was. I'll provide a couple of tidbits that I don't want to spoil the read because, as I say, I mean, one of the points of Family of Secrets is to be a riveting good read. An entertaining read, and so I don't, you know, I don't want to kind of give everything away, but I'll give you a few nuggets here. The same man who says he can't remember where he was, we have two memos now, declassified memos, which I lay out in Family of Secrets, and these are actually from the U.S. government, and one has George Bush being mentioned in an FBI document from the day after the assassination, refers to a briefing concerning anti-Castro Cubans who were opposed to Kennedy and their activities, and it mentions the assassination, and it says that one of the two intelligence officers in this briefing was Mr. George Bush of the CIA. So you have this document. Mm-hmm. You have a second one from the day of the assassination, and this is coming out of an FBI field office in Houston, Texas. And it basically says that Mr. George Bush, an oil man from Houston, and it gives his address, is calling in to offer a tip. He's just heard that the president has been shot, and he may know who has shot the president. Okay? Now, there is no question from this document, because we have his home address, that this is the same George Bush who says he can't remember where he was that day. This is also apparently the same Mr. George Bush who in another memo is being described as an active duty CIA officer that day. So he's got three different lives going on at the same time, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, let me give you one more link. Let me stop you right there just for a second. I'm going to give you one more link. You mentioned earlier he goes back to the time of Allen Dulles. They were well acquainted on good terms. And Allen Dulles met an untimely end in public service because of John Kennedy and the Bay of Pigs. And the more that you're linking these figures together, you know, you're connecting a series of dots that would make one highly suspicious of George Bush's involvement. I mean, I think there's a little question that's where this is headed.
Well, there's just there are many other things in the book. There are all these. There are people who
are you talking about Morenschild?
Yes, but there are also people who were involved with the Kennedy's motorcade who were connected to Bush. There were CIA front companies operating in Dallas that day. There are so many elements there. When you look at these things, you say, let's put it this way, there is at least enough basis that any thinking person would look at this and say, well, I don't know how to explain all of these pieces except that there's something going on here and there's some sort of awareness. The phone call itself, by the way, is very interesting because it turns out to be a red herring. It turns out to be somewhat misleading, the call, because he actually he knows the man who he says he doesn't know much about, but he thinks he might have shot him. He actually knows the man, seems to know that the man couldn't possibly have been involved, and I go into why that is. And then he says, oh, by the way, I'm calling from, and he mentions a town where he's calling from. And the only thing you can conclude is that the purpose of the call was to basically establish in this phone call that he was in this other town, which was not in Dallas. As
plausible.
It happened, it was very close.
Yeah, exactly. We're looking at plausible deniability. We're going to pick this up when we come back with Russ after a word from our sponsor. Stay tuned, everybody.
To
Today in America, you are facing threats of bank holidays, currency devaluation, confiscation of funds by lawyers and various government entities. We at Panama Legal Offshore Law Firm based in Guatemala have offshore solutions. For instance, we can form an anonymous Hong Kong corporation for you, get you a bank account, a $1 trillion Hong Kong bank that'll let you own 10 different currencies in your account. If one or two currencies go down, the others will go up. You'll have no Hong Kong taxes, strong bank secrecies, no tax treaty with the USA, no need to go to Hong Kong, access your funds online from anywhere in the world, and you can even get an anonymous Visa card without your name on it or in the script through us. So come visit us at panamalaw.org. That's www.panamalaw, one word, panamalaw.org. And you can chat with us on Skype or use our encrypted chat and discuss your needs. Thank you.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit FreeToProsper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit freetoprosper.com today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Thanks for staying with us. Our special guest tonight is Russ Baker, and we're discussing his groundbreaking book on the Bush family secrets. And Russ, I want to go back and talk about, put a cap on that phone call he made. As we said going into the break, it looks like a case of plausible deniability designed to make the trail go cold.
It's hard to understand anything else about that, and that is why I actually devote an entire chapter of Family of Secrets just to this issue, that phone call that day and so forth. And it's fascinating. You even see Barbara Bush later on playing a role in trying to put some spin on where they were and what was going on. It's the most amazing thing. I mean, this is something where people put a lot of time into this, and they seem to have put time into it prior. And if you conclude, as I think anybody does when they read these facts, that phone call was to try to create some sort of an alibi, then that means that he knew in advance that something was going on. Now, what did he know? Well, this, very briefly, because again, I don't want to belabor this and let people read Family of Secrets and see it for themselves, but basically, there was a man who was in Lee Harvey Oswald's life, and this man named George de Morenschild, was a murky Russian-born figure with intelligence connections seemingly into, the CIA and other agencies, and this man was basically a kind of a father figure to Lee Oswald. He spent 6 months in the year before the assassination constantly with Lee, in and out of Lee's house, taking him everywhere, literally driving him to dental appointments and what have you. And this man is barely remembered, but he was a very important figure. In fact, the Warren Commission One of the longest interviews they did out of all the people they interviewed was George de Morenschild, and yet you can see that they're trying to avoid asking him or following up on any of the interesting things that he says. Anyway, who was George de Morenschild? Well, what I discovered, George de Morenschild turns out to have been an old friend of George H.W. Bush, going way back before then. And so in Family Secrets, in later chapters, you read de Morenschild resurfaces when Bush is now CIA director. He writes him a letter, and he says, I'm afraid, I guess I've been indiscreet, talking too much about Oswald, and I feel there's a net closing in on me, and then something very, very bad befalls him. So we have all of these just tantalizing elements, and they really, really make you wonder about what was happening there. And then what I do is I go from the Kennedy stuff, we go forward, and we...
Well, before you leave Kennedy, I just have one final question on de Morenschild. Didn't he die a rather mysterious death, like so many other people connected to the assassination?
He did. It was judged a suicide. It was very, very strange. And this was shortly after he wrote this letter to Mr. Bush saying that he was afraid.
And, yeah, okay. And, you know, we'll leave the rest of the memory because we want people to read the book.
Right.
Okay, so leaving the Kennedy assassination, where do the Bush family travels take them from there?
Well, H.W. gets elected to Congress, and again, we don't have time to go through all that, but basically what happens is he starts his political rise, and then Richard Nixon begins favoring him, and this takes me into the next perplexing American historical epoch. And I want to underline something here. Rather, I'm happy to kind of provide these morsels and give everyone, you know, a sense of what they will find in Family of Secrets. But I think it's important to stop for a second and just say, you know, well, you know, why does this all matter? And I think the reason it matters is that it's important that we be able to trust our government. And, you know, before you can trust your government, you've got to be able to trust the people in the government, the people who run the government. And supposedly we choose these people, and supposedly we choose them fully informed of who they are, what they stand for, where they came from. Well, if it turns out that the people that we choose to run the government are not who we thought they were, we're in big trouble. Our whole country is in desperate trouble. And so we need to figure out what is going on. And you could say, well, they're out of office, but you know something? The story of what just happened, this is just in very recent years. We're not talking about going back to the beginnings of this country. This is very, very recent. And we got the wrong story. We got completely the wrong story. And you can bet if we got the wrong story about them, then if you move forward into the next administration, and as you pointed out, you see some of the same people still being held over and influencing mm-hmm. policy, we're still not getting the right story. And so my position is that Family of Secrets is a great place for us to take a stand, to begin taking back our history and our knowledge, and for all of us as individuals to arm ourselves with accurate information. We simply don't have it, and I'm talking about even those of us who think we know all of these things. I didn't know any of this, and I'm a professional investigative journalist. I've been doing this for several decades, and I didn't know any of these things. None of this was out there. So,
Russ,
anyway,
let me stop you right there for a second, too, because I have read your credentials. And rather than have me belabor them, why don't you hit the high points? Because I think one of the things the listening audience needs to know is you didn't just fall off the turnip truck here, journalistically speaking. You've worked for some of the most respected news agencies and publications in the world. Just take a second and tell the audience what you've done.
Well, I mean, for a couple of decades, I've been an independent investigative journalist and a media critic, writing for a wide range of publications, from having been a contributing editor to the Columbia Journalism Review, which is the preeminent magazine looking at the quality of journalism, to having written for the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, The Nation, The Village Voice, The New Yorker, New York Magazine, The Washington Post, Vanity Fair, Esquire, major newspapers and magazines in Germany, the Times of London. And so, you know, I've worked for all of these places and been able to pass muster with them in terms of how careful I am and so forth. So I've got those credentials. But I've always worked independently rather than as a staff reporter so that I could preserve my ability to go anywhere and look at anything. And I've been doing this, as I say, for a long time. I was very, very pleased, by the way. Family Secrets has come out now in paperback and with a new subtitle. The new subtitle is The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years. On the front cover, we've got a nice blurb. It says, one of the most important books of the past 10 years, and that's from Gore Vidal, who's quite an eminent historian and literary figure. On the back cover, we have Dan Rather saying that this book has forced him to rethink even those events he personally witnessed. You know, Dan Rather was there in Dealey Plaza when the Kennedy assassination happened. He covered Watergate. He covered all these things. And, of course, he got caught up himself, as we said earlier, in the whole thing with Bush's National Guard record. And so he read this book, and his eyes just flew open because he said, my God, I missed all of this stuff.
Well, we know that Dan Rather's career was destroyed because of George W. Bush and his coverings. How about you? What kind of backlash have you had for writing this book?
It's not so much a backlash because I've sort of, in a certain sense, insulated myself by building a good reputation. I've purposely not been in a position where I had to worry about bosses. And I, you know, there are a lot of people around the country who trust me and believe in me, even if they find this material scary. More than that kind of thing, what I've run into is a little bit of a wall of silence. Basically, we've had some difficulty getting me on to the kinds of major television and radio shows that normally, when you have a big book, a whole new biography of the President of the United States, they would just jump to have you on there. And we've had some trouble with some of these people, and what I have heard is that it's the material itself is just too shocking for them. They just don't know how to deal with it.
I was talking to my friend Jim Mars, who's been a guest on the show numerous times. He wrote Oliver Stone's version of JFK, the movie. He wrote the original book called Crossfire. And Jim has experienced several things like that as well, too. Well, he wrote a book on questions he had on 9/11, and he received front money from a major publisher only to have them pull the book but still let him keep the money. That's almost unheard of. And it was all, again, about the censorship part of it. And, you know, then I remember, too, not too long ago, it was a few years ago, the History Channel ran really something controversial, and it shocked me. It tried to link Lyndon Johnson into the murder of someone called Billy Celestes back when Johnson was involved in a run for a Congress position, and the Johnson library and their people just became so incensed that everything you see now on the History Channel about the assassination is not anything to do with a conspiracy. It's Oswald and Oswald alone. In fact, they don't even rerun the series The Men Who Killed Kennedy, which was one of their most popular series ever, and I can see why you're having trouble. So I really want to promote this book for you because I got to tell you how it reads for me, and I want the listening audience to hear this. I picked it up. I had a friend of mine who had a copy of it. This is when I decided I would try to track you down and have you on the show. It read like a mystery novel, but it's so voluminous, and I wanted to check out your facts. So I check out your references and come back, and everything checked out. But it reads like a mystery novel where you'll read it for an hour or two at a time and set it down because your head becomes so filled with facts you can't go on. And I'm a speed reader. And then I'd come back a few hours later and do the same thing. And it's one of those you can't put it down, but it really, for the most dedicated reader, it's still going to take you 3 to 5 days to get through it.
Well, that would be pretty impressive if they could do that. I actually was thinking it would be kind of cool to sort of reissue it with like a workbook, you know, where you had all the charts and the flow charts and who was connected to who and all that kind of stuff, because it really is this amazing web, you know. The thing is this, this stuff is deeply, deeply discomforting, and when you are part of the establishment, just, you know, in any position at all, it's not that a lot of those people would love to treat these things. It's not that they're bad people. It's just that simply, I mean, you know those big shows, the Today Show and all that, I mean, they have guests on there all the time talking about books. And again, if you're Dan Brown and you wrote a book, and you made it all up, it's okay.
Yes.
But if you're saying, folks, this is not made up, and this is going to rock your world, they do have to think twice about it. They want that kind of stuff on there. They want edgy stuff because it's going to get them ratings, but they don't want stuff that's going to cause them problems with the, you know, with the parent corporation, with the advertisers.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
Let's hold it right there because I want to get into Watergate as well and how Bush became president. Stay tuned, everybody, more with Russ Baker after a word from our sponsors.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Thanks for staying with us through the break. Our special guest tonight is Russ Baker, and we're discussing Bush family secrets. And let's go out to the phones real quick and take a quick phone call from Art from Pennsylvania. Hi, Art. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's on your mind?
I was going to ask a couple points about what you're discussing tonight. With regards to this, what do you know about the ties into Max Fisher through United Fruit to this whole scenario, going all the way back from the when he took it over, set up the Exodus ship for establishment of Israel, was directly involved with the war in Guatemala, and then was one of the major founders working with Capone to basically start the Bay of Pigs affair to get the casinos back for Meyer Lansky and those guys. And how did that play out?
Okay, that's quite a mouthful. I know some things about that. There are a few elements in Family of Secrets. Certainly, United Fruit is one of these companies like Brown Brothers Harriman that had this history of influencing U.S. policy and using the official arms of the government to advance their own ends. People like Alan Dulles were involved in representing legally the interests of United Fruit. And certainly as far as the Bay of Pigs goes, there is no question that there were keen interests on the part of organized crime, as well as many American firms. And again, by the way, Brown Brothers Harriman owned extensive holdings that were expropriated by Fidel Castro. And then we find out that other branches of the Bush family, the Walkers, also owned extensive holdings. And so many, many of these outfits and families had something at stake there.
All right. On the other side of the equation, after the assassination, what do you know about the role of Walter Annenberg via Operation Mockingbird in taking control of a lot of the governmental affairs, especially during the Nixon era?
Are you referring particularly as relates to controlling the media?
No, it's basically handpicking his entire cabinet and deciding who was going to be under Richard Nixon, deciding everybody, including Kissinger.
You know, I'm not sure that I completely agree with that. I do have extensive new information relating to Richard Nixon. I'm not, you know, I think Annenberg is an interesting figure. Operation Mockingbird is an interesting operation, but I've got another thread in
right.
Family of Secrets, and this relates particularly to Mr. Bush, to the CIA, and to the Pentagon. And if we have time, hopefully I can explain about that.
All right, one other operation. Did you tie in Operation Underworld to this event?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you know about Operation Underworld?
It sounds vaguely familiar to me.
Remember when they sunk the SS Normandy in World War II in New York Harbor?
Right. No, I think that...
Yeah, I think we're getting a little far afield.
Okay,
yeah,
all right, okay. A little time. Right. Yeah, I think we got to...
All right, I think your first question, second question follow-up were really, really good, but we want to stay... on topic. I want to thank you for your call, and please call again. Russ, back to what we were talking about here. I wanted to just, we got a short time right up until the break, but we can continue this after the break. I wanted to get into Watergate, because not only were the Bushes intimately involved in the figures that have been associated with the Kennedy assassination, they were also involved in Watergate. Can you start that discussion?
Sure. I mean, again, as I mentioned earlier, George H.W. Bush was sort of sponsored by Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon took him in 1970 when he lost a bid for the U.S. Senate. Richard Nixon took him and made him the United States ambassador to the United Nations. Now, that was a very important post at a very sensitive moment, and Bush had no background in foreign affairs. He had nothing to qualify him for this position, and they had illustrious people like Eleanor Roosevelt and Adlai Stevenson and so forth as prior ambassadors, and so this was kind of a shock. And then Nixon later, at the height of Watergate, appointed him as the chairman of the Republican Party, and so this all seemed very, very strange. What I discovered just completely blew my mind, and that was that the reason Nixon did all of these things was because Nixon was beholden to the Bush family, and this traces back to an unknown history of Richard Nixon's own origins, with these same banking interests and these same elements that the Bushes were key figures in. And so we see Richard Nixon basically having to play ball with these elements. And when he becomes president, he's still got to do that. But what I discover then is that at some point, Nixon becomes president and decides he's going to be his own man. He's going to do his own thing. And he begins becoming too independent, and he begins angering all of these families, including the Bushes. And I guess we'll have to wait till after the break, but I can tell you what happens to Richard Nixon and what curious role George H.W. Bush and the CIA play.
Well, let me put a little teaser out there, because I know one of the things that changed almost immediately when John Kennedy was killed was Vietnam. And I have a suspicion here that we're going to see the same thing with Richard Nixon as he scaled down the war and was trying to Vietnamize the war.
There are certainly some echoes there, absolutely.
Echoes? okay, those echoes are pretty loud. Give us just another teaser there before we go to the break. What else was involved here with the demise of Richard Nixon?
Well, sure. And by the way, there's also this interesting thing where, as you point out, Richard Nixon was in Dallas the day that Kennedy was shot. And Nixon didn't want to talk about that, but as I point out in Family Secrets, Richard Nixon didn't seem to know that this event was going to happen, and I think he was so flabbergasted trying to figure out how it was that he had been brought to Dallas to be there on this red letter day, and how this is going to impact him and his political future. And,
yeah,
and all
future,
of this tied
three,
in, by the way, to Watergate.
Absolutely, and three future presidents in Dealey Plaza on the same day. I teach stats in a college. I like to run the odds on that one, and I probably will sometime. Stay tuned, everybody. More with Russ Baker on the other side.
Yo, You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Our special guest tonight is Russ Baker, and we're talking about his book, Family of Secrets. And Russ, let's let everybody know how they can get a copy of the book.
Sure. Probably the easiest thing is to just go to our website, familyofsecrets.com, and I think it's on the right side of the screen there. There's something you can click. Takes you to Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and a site for independent bookstores, which I try to support. You can also go into bookstores in your area and ask for it. I think quite a few of them stock the paperback, but both the paperback and the hardcover are available online.
So it is available in most of your major bookstores?
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. So you haven't had trouble with distribution
with
regard to censorship?
No, I'm very fortunate about that. I have Bloomsbury, which is a great, respected publisher. They were, I think, very gutsy to get behind the book, and the sales forces have been enthusiastic. I think people overall are hungry for the truth. You know, they want to know what's going on, and they have some sense that what we get on a daily basis is just not right. And yet, on the Internet, you get the other extreme. You get all this, you know, opinionating, bloviating, rumors, you know, all of this kind of stuff, and somebody's got to kind of walk in the middle there and just sort of very, very methodically explore things without an agenda. And that's what we've tried to do with Family of Secrets.
Well, it took you, according to what I've either heard or read, didn't it take you 5 years to write this book?
That's right, 5 years, mostly for the research. And that's just because all these, I just kept going down these you know, tunnels that I never expected to find or to need to go down. And it just took me, I mean, everything about Family of Secrets astounded me. It changed my understanding of George W. Bush, of his father, of the whole family. It changed my understanding, really, of American history. I was almost traumatized by this. You know, it was very hard to do this work, and I would have certain points where I would call friends of mine. I live in New York City, and I would call a friend of mine, you know, who worked at the New York Times or at some other, you know, eminent magazine or what have you, and I would ask them to meet me for lunch or coffee or something, and I would just start showing them some of the things I had, and I said to them, listen, you know, tell me if you think I'm losing my mind or just going off the deep end here, and they would look at all of this stuff, and then there would be a long pause. And I'd wait for them to tell me, yeah, you know, you're making a mistake. And instead, after a long silence, the typical thing was, watch your back.
Yes. Well, I've experienced a bit of harassment for the work that I do in this area. And this isn't my main avocation, Russ. You know, I'm a instructor in a college. I teach statistics and psychology. I'm a college basketball coach, coaching his last season. And, you know, this has not really been my calling, but, you know, I saw a world we're leaving behind for my young son, and I said, I've got to step in and try to expose some of this. One of the things that really strikes me about your book, and I want to say this before we get back into Watergate, is how well documented it is and how many people you got to go on the record. But more than that, the umbrella that overhangs your book, to me, is the fact that if you believe any of this, you have to believe all of it because of the documentation you provide. And so much of what we've had since the 50s from our government is nothing but a big lie.
Well, you know, what you mentioned people being on the record. I even flew, for example, out to Mexico to the Yucatan Peninsula to see a man. It was right, almost like a scene out of Joseph Conrad's novels. I went out to see a man named Bob Gao who had the unusual distinction of having been an employee of George H.W. Bush and an employer of George W. Bush. And I wanted to talk to him. I had found that Bob had written this. A lot of people, as they get on in years, they want to leave something for their family. And so he had written this sort of a self-published memoir, but it was really, I guess, only intended for family and friends. But I had found a copy, bought it, and read it. And I contacted him, and he was sort of surprised that I had seen this thing. And so he said, well, but I'd see you, but I'm all the way out here in this plantation in a remote part of Mexico. And I said, oh, I'll come see you. It's a good excuse to visit Mexico. I went all the way out there, end up at the end of this dirt road, and there I am at this plantation. I'm talking to this guy. He's showing me his, you know, his catfish ponds and all the bamboos that he raises and so forth. And we start talking, and he was very, very careful, actually, about what he said. But he starts telling me these amazing stories, you know, which some of which are in the book. And it's very clear that this man was working with foreign intelligence operations. And yet, of course, he doesn't want to talk about the Bushes, but he was doing this while he was in business with these guys.
That's amazing. Let's go back to Watergate really quickly. I link Vietnam in there. What else do you think was the cause of Richard Nixon's demise?
Well, again, I don't want to give the whole story away, but I will say this much. Basically, I was following the Bushes, not Nixon. And so once I established that Richard Nixon was beholden to the Bush family,
yes,
I wanted to know. Then you see H.W. Bush as the Nixon fires his entire cabinet after the 72 election, and he keeps Bush, and moreover, he appoints him the head of the RNC, and I want to know, what is Bush doing? And so I begin trying to find out, and I look in all of these books. I must have looked in 100 books, books on Nixon, books on the Bushes, books on Watergate, and there's no mention of him practically at all. And I think, well, this man was in Washington running the Republican Party while this was all going down. How could he not be mentioned? I mean, he's like a reverse of that character Zelig, you know, who's always in the picture. This guy, it should be there, and he's never in the picture. And so I wondered about that, and I started looking around, and I started finding all these little hints of him in the picture, and you see him generally not, the things he's doing, he's not really being particularly helpful to Nixon. And, you know, then I was thinking, wait a minute, we already have established this man has CIA ties going all these years back. Presumably, if he was operating kind of undercover for the CIA when he was an oil man and he was a congressman. He's still doing it when he's at the RNC. And what did the CIA want here? They seemed to have problems with John F. Kennedy. What was their position with Nixon? So I started looking at Nixon, and I see that this is not well known, that Richard Nixon, almost the moment he got in office, he began challenging all of these power centers that had been integral to his rise in the first place. The CIA, the Pentagon, the oil industry, the sugar industry. He became president of the United States, and he, remember how he always resented the elite?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, the elites he resented, that was these people. That was the Bushes. That's who he resented. It wasn't, it's been presented in some historical books that he resented, you know, sort of, kind of, you know, wealthy liberals on the East Coast. That's not who it was. It was these elites, and basically what happened was he became president of the United States, and the only thing you have left to do when you become president is to create a legacy. And so every president wants a legacy. They want to do something. They want to win the Nobel Peace Prize. They want something like that. And so he wanted to be seen as a peacemaker. And in his own way, and I'm not taking a position on this, I'm not defending his policies, but in his own way, and that's why he brought Henry Kissinger in, he was going to find a way to end the Vietnam War, to end the Cold War, to reach out to America's enemies, and to basically restructure the global relationship. And he began doing this through secret back-channel negotiations, and he cut out all of these agencies. He cut out the State Department. He cut out the Pentagon. He cut out all of these wealthy industrialists who were used to having tremendous amounts of influence with the president, and they got mad at him. And you can see right from the beginning of his administration, he's getting them angry on every level. He's having fights with the CIA. The generals at the Joint Chiefs of Staff start a spy ring in the White House to find out what the heck he's up to. We see the oil people deciding that he's not going to protect the oil depletion allowance that's so crucial to their fortunes. And then you've got George H.W. Bush, and he's the representative of the oil industry. He's the representative of the CIA. He's the representative of the military-industrial complex. And there he is, right in the catbird seat. And so I begin finding operations prior to the Watergate burglary that are all related. And what I discover is that with every operation, two things are always the case. Number one, the operation, if discovered, is guaranteed to harm Richard Nixon's interests. And number two, in every case, Richard Nixon doesn't know about the operation. Mm-hmm. And this goes with the Ellsberg break-in, the Watergate burglary, some campaign finance scandals I discovered that they tried to push and make them to take off. The press never was able to really make a big scandal of them. But what you see, what I conclude in Family of Secrets, is that it was a concerted effort to remove Richard Nixon from office, not by the Democrats, not by the liberals, but by people on his right, by people who felt that Richard Nixon was out of control. In their minds, they thought he was threatening national security by his decisions to negotiate down the ballistic missiles with the Russians, to reach out to the Chinese, to back away from Taiwan. There were countless fronts on which Richard Nixon, as you pointed out, I think so thoughtfully earlier, very similar to John F. Kennedy, ironically, even though from the opposite party, even though ostensibly so different, again trying to take on these challenges and really posing a tremendous threat to these great power centers.
He was taking money out of the power centers' hands the same as John Kennedy was doing. When you were describing the reasons behind Watergate, I could close my eyes and say this is 1963 all over again. Oil depletion allowance, military-industrial complex, trying to make peace with the Soviets, Vietnam. It's eerily similar, but they couldn't murder another president, would be my take, so they had to do it politically.
Well, let me throw another little ringer in here. Jimmy Carter, about two-thirds of the way through Family of Secrets, I turned to Jimmy Carter, and again, there's a Bush connection. And I remember one of these mainstream newspaper writers who tried to attack the book, he used the term something like the general theory of Bushativity, as if I, you know, how do I have the Bushes in all these stories? Well, what this person misses is that the Bushes were involved in all of these things. They were constantly in government in one capacity or another. They were working with these interests continuously. And so, of course, they're always doing their job. And their job was to affect all of these administrations. And with Jimmy Carter, you see something else happen. Jimmy Carter comes in. He's, again, a little bit controlled, as all these guys are to some extent. You know, when Carter was a nobody, basically. I mean, he was the governor of Georgia, but he was not well known. He had no knowledge of foreign policy. And a lot of these interests, the Rockefellers and so forth, got into his campaign early on and started steering him. That's how he ended up with Zbigniew Brzezinski, you know, as his national security advisor. That's how he got into this mess that started the situation in Afghanistan with the Mujahideen and so forth. That's how a lot of these things happened. That, the mess with Iran came out of that. And that all involved business interests, not Jimmy Carter himself. But what I also found was that Jimmy Carter, you know, he only had one term in office. And the reason he only had one term was because all of these things befell him. The hostage taking in Iran, various financial scandals involving banks and so on. And you see, again, the fingerprints of covert operations where they're compromising, not Jimmy Carter himself, but in this case, his best friends, Burt Lance and other key people around him.
And even his brother.
And even his brother, that's right.
They made him look silly, but it came back and reflected on the president, no kidding.
You know what it is, Dave? It's all this constant covert operation. It's a kind of a, it's a constant effort to compromise people, to get information on them. And of course, this is what we supposedly expect these agencies to do, but we would like them to do it externally. They're not supposed to be doing it in our government.
Okay, well, we got a caller. Let's, we've been kind of neglectful in that area here because this has been so interesting, and we're not even going to get to touch a smattering of what I wanted to. So let's go to Gene and welcome Gene to the show. Hi, Gene. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I heard you talking about Nixon, why he was in Dallas. He didn't really know. He was at the Clint Murchison's ranch. They had a big meeting there. Madeline Duncan Brown, who was Johnson's mistress, has a videotape out on it. And Nixon was at the meeting. J. Edgar Hoover was at the meeting. The head of the mafia from New Orleans. The head of the mafia from Texas.
Let's hold it right there because Russ and I actually had an email exchange on this topic. And Russ, you're not a believer in that this meeting ever took place, are you?
No, I don't think there ever was a party. I'm not positive. I haven't done a tremendous amount of research, but I've seen a few things indicating that there's no way that J. Edgar Hoover could have been at that party, no way that Nixon could have been there, and in fact, no way that Johnson could have been there because they all were at other places at about that time, according to people who were with them, that would have made it impossible to get out to this location and back to where they were staying that night. It doesn't look like that was possible, but I do have very interesting information on how Richard Nixon came to be in Dallas, and I think ended up being astonished and deeply disturbed to be there, and that is in Family of Secrets. And I won't go into all the detail here, but I will tell you this, that when Richard Nixon became president, he became obsessed with something he referred to as the Bay of Pigs thing. And his top advisors, Haldeman and Ehrlichman, in their diaries, they say Nixon was very secretive. He never said what he meant, but they always concluded that when he was talking about the Bay of Pigs thing, he was actually talking about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And when he took office, one of the first things he did was he demanded that the CIA send him their files on this issue, and they wouldn't do it. And
well, the same with Bill Clinton. Exactly the same thing with Bill Clinton happened.
Yep.
And then that's what led to some conspiracy theories involving Vince Foster, which I haven't made my mind up about. Gene, I'm open to the fact that that meeting took place. I'm not sure all those people were there, but the only account we really have on that is Madeline Brown's, and, you know, we really need a collaborating witness. Thanks for your call. Russ, we're going to have you back in the spring to follow up on this because we're not even going to get to W tonight. So I hope you'll be agreeable to that because this book is really going to rock the world if we can get it to take fire here. How are sales going?
Actually, you know, sales are pretty good, but what's happening is it's a sort of a citizen revolution, you might say, and I think this is largely thanks to the Internet. Hopefully nobody will be able to shut that down. But what's happening is individuals who hear radio shows like this, they say, you know what, I could do something. And so they go, they get a book, they go to their email list, they forward emails to everybody they know. They go online to these bulletin boards and they summarize what they've read. And so it's doing pretty well. It's pretty high up on the Amazon rating.
Good.
And it's growing. It is growing week by week.
Well, one thing I've got to ask you, just out of personal curiosity, my dad was a naval intel. And one of the things that we talked about before his passing was he felt the same people that killed John Kennedy also killed Bobby, also killed Martin Luther King, because the cover stories were too similar not to be related. Did your research ever take you into any of those other two areas?
It didn't. I will just say a couple of things which I think are common sense. When you consider the documented fact in our own mainstream history books that that powerful people, leaders, whether they were running governments or they were labor leaders or they were student leaders or whatever they were, have been killed all over the world, and that in many of these cases they were traced back to the intelligence services of particular countries, to wealthy people and big companies and what have you. When you look at the United States and you have this long string back to, you know, Lincoln and Garfield and McKinley and on and as you say, you know, and Martin Luther King and then Malcolm X and so forth, and you know, Ford was shot and Reagan was shot by this Hinckley, as we know. I mean, that's another thing. The Hinckleys were friends of the Bush family, but in any case,
I know that's so amazing. That's in the book too. We got to hold it right there because we're up against our last break, and we'll be back with Russ after these messages. And
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Our guest tonight has been Russ Baker, who is the author of Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, The Powerful Forces That Put It in the White House, and What Their Influence Means for America. We really only got to cover about 60% of this equation. And Ross, let me go to the website that you gave it earlier, familyofsecrets.com, which is you can click on to, and you have your own website too, russ@russbaker.com.
Russbaker.com is a personal website. There's a third one, very important, called whowhatwhy.com.
Mm-hmm.
Whowhatwhy.com. That's our nonprofit we started for nonpartisan, nonprofit investigative journalism. And in this new year, we're hoping to start delivering a regular journalism, not just books, but regular articles frequently to the public, free of charge, with the support, the financial support of the public. So there's that site too.
Okay, very good. And we've got a caller who's calls into the show frequently, and he's really good. And we're going to have to be brief, but I would want to give Roger a shot at asking you a question. So let's go to Roger in Kentucky on line two. And Roger, we really got to be brief.
Okay, this is a quick question then. In explaining what the nature of these people, are they sociopaths, knowingly evil? How did they get this way?
Oh, good question. I think they're basically people who are on top. They're used to be on top. Life is good for them, usually, right from the get-go. They get jobs for which they may not be qualified because they know the right people and so on. Life is good. They want to keep it that way. They form alliances with other people who also want to keep it that way, and everything goes from there.
Okay.
Good answer.
Yep.
I just think they're used to having their way. You're exactly right. And then they live by their own set of rules and principles. What was the single most surprising thing you found when you wrote the book?
I think the single most surprising thing I found was how little I knew about what's really going on. And, you know, just in a large sense, I mean that, just how wrong even... You know, even if you read so much and you watch the better shows and you you go on these websites that have some of the more eloquent people and so on, you're still missing, kind of like, it seems like 90% of the picture of what the heck is really going on in this country and in this world. That really, is something that totally reoriented my thinking.
Well, this book really does need to be read, and I know that's in my own humble opinion, but I'm sure it's going to be in the opinion of anyone who picks this up. Because I think it really tells us, it gives us a snapshot, I think, of really where the country took a wrong turn. And I've always held the belief, Russ, that when I look back at history, because I was only a child when John Kennedy was killed, but I thought that's when the country really took a wrong turn. And I don't think we've quite recovered from that. And you've captured a lot of that here. But what we failed to capture tonight was W's contribution to all this. And I hope you'll be agreeable to coming back sometime in the early spring to talking about that part of it, and also, too, I would assume there's going to be a sequel on the horizon, too, since you've done additional research on this.
I'd be happy to come back, and I am definitely keeping my eye out for additional material that we can bring to the public.
Well, this has been such a groundbreaking book. I could not put it down. It's just, you caught me in the middle of a week where we were traveling twice out of town to play games, and I was limited because it wasn't my book. But I am going to pick up a copy, and I'm going to read it over my own spring break so I can take my time with it. And I want to wish you all the luck with the book, and I will be in contact with you to schedule another appearance because we need to hear about W. And then I think we also need this to link this into Obama, because I keep hearing every day from everyone, Russ, that I talk to, that, gee, Obama promised hope and change, and all we have gotten is more of George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm. Happy to talk about that. And, again, people could reach me via our website, familyofsecrets.com. Love to hear what people think after they've had a chance to read the book.
Okay. Thanks for being so gracious with your time. We'll be in touch, and I want to encourage everyone to get the book. Good night, Russ.
Great show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, folks, there you have it. We'll be back next week with another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show, along with Annie DeRiso and my great producer, Manny Quiros. And I'll see you next week. God bless everybody.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the